Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, everybody, to the No BS Bishop. I'm Alive to Love. All lesser values than love devolve into BS, which is bait and switch, or however else you might want to call it. We are not here to BS our way through life. We are here to love our way through life. We're here to love every tree, every blade of grass, every breath we take, every human we meet, every spouse we are privileged to be joined to, every child that comes into our life. We're here to love our boss, our employees. We're here to love our neighbor, and yes, even love our enemies, because Jesus said, love your enemies. So what we're being invited to is a life of love, not a life of misery or a life of bait and switch BS, but a life that's invested in the beauty and the significance and the truth of love. So that when this life is done, we'll still be loving into the next life. When we pass from this life to the next, love will still be our journey. It'll still be the adventure. So we'll talk about that today, the adventure of love in this life and the next. So every No BS Bishop Alive to Love, we do a couple of things. The first thing is we start with Love's Creed. I wrote this 10 years ago. It was something I wrote for a sermon series I was preaching, and it's become standard foundation for me. It's become, as we share it here, a creed. So if you'd like to get this Love's Creed in written form, I'd be happy to send it to you if you want to email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. Randy Dean Ministries, all one word, lowercase, @gmail. Send me a request. I'll type it up and send it to you. And then I promise I won't harass you if I get your email address. And I won't use your email address for anything except just to return Love's Creed to you. All right. So let's do Love's Creed. I'm going to offer it to you in total to start with. And then we'll go back and I'll offer it to you like I would a couple at a wedding ceremony where I give them their vows. You know, and the nervous groom is toeing the ground and looking around, and I sometimes have to repeat it twice and say, okay, say this after me. And then the bride may be in tears and nervous, and she says, what? Wait, say it again. And so however it works for you, I'll say it in total. And then we'll go back, and I'll have you repeat after me, Love's Creed. Here we go. Here it is in total. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less than love. There it is. That's Love's Creed. Now, let me give it to you in short bursts, and you repeat after me. You know, the reason I do this is it's so important to hear your own voice committing to something this valuable. This is why churches have creeds. That's why they have a liturgy where you repeat certain phrases. They're not just trying to fill time. They're giving us all the opportunity to connect to valuable truths beyond ourselves, so it becomes a part of our makeup. So let me give you Love's Creed in short bursts, and you repeat after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. That's Love's Creed. Again, if you want that in a written form, send me an email at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and I'll send you that in total. So today, my subject of choice in reference to love. Now, listen to this carefully. I've been doing this broadcast now for upwards of 4 years. I've had one subject, and that subject has been love. And every week I've been here to talk about the processes, the adventure, the marathon run, the mountain climb, the heavy lifting, unpacking the values of love. You see, I am convinced Jesus said this. This is how the whole wide world will know you folks who call yourself people of faith. This is how the world will know you are my disciples. If you love. Love is our credibility. Love is our basis. It's the foundation of having anything to say to a world that's worth saying. You see, truth without love is potential pain. It's potential shaming. But love with truth becomes a relationship. You know, it's not about, hey, I'm going to speak the truth in love with you. I'm going to shoot at you with my truths and walk away. No. That's not what it is. But truth and love as partners beautifully combined. In fact, I would propose that real love is truth. And that's maybe a subject for another time. But when we love and we have a truth to share that's of any value at all, then we risk a relationship with people that is a loving relationship. And then we create an adventure where truth can be imparted. Truth can be given over. It can be shared. In fact, like one preacher once said, you know, most truth is better caught than taught, which is to say, we catch the beauty of real loving truth far better when it's not being hammered on our head, when it's not being, you know, Bible thumped into our eardrums. Truth that is truth is love, and love that is love will carry truth in such a kind and generous and straightforward way. You won't have to convince people of anything except you're alive to love. So this is my purpose for today in terms of the adventure of love in this life and the next. My purpose in life is to love. You say, well, but wait a minute. Isn't your purpose in life to be a pastor? Oh, sure. Out of love, I pastor. So that, see what I'm doing there? Our purpose in life isn't to be a worker at a fast food place flipping hamburgers. No. Our purpose in life is to love. And then if I love, if I really love, and my life is given to the purpose of love, and I am in the process of needing to work at a fast food place where I flip hamburgers, well, then I'm going to be the most loving hamburger flipper that fast food restaurant's ever known. I'm going to love those hamburgers, and I'm going to love the customers. I'm going to love my fellow employees. I'm going to love my bosses. I'm going to love the establishment that's paying my salary. Love will be my purpose. My purpose, your purpose in life is to love. And if we're loved in return, it becomes a welcome bonus. But now listen to this carefully. We must adamantly refuse to wait for love to come back to us at our heart's doorstep as a determination for my love to be activated. Now, this is hard. This is the heavy lifting of love. If my determination to love is based on waiting for the return of love, ouch. I'm going to struggle. And I'm going to find myself wallowing in the shallows of love rather than going into the deeps of love. Yes, this is painful if I'm loving and nothing's coming back. If I'm loving and it's not being returned, that hurts. It's struggling. And you'll rise and fall and rise and fall. I have, and all people do, when that becomes the norm. But now listen, I choose first. My purpose in life is to love. I start there and I finish there. Now, if I am not loved in return, oh, baby, that's tough. But if I continue to love when love hasn't come back, oh, baby, that's tough love. You see what I'm saying there? And by the way, love that is love is tough all by itself, and it will rise and shine in spite of every storm coming its way. Here's what I believe. All that I need to know about the will of God for my life is that I am called to be a lover. That's my will of God phrase for myself. People ask me often as a pastor, well, Pastor, what's God's will for my life? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Should I go to college? Should I take this job? Should I marry this person? Should I move to another state? I don't know what the will of God is for me. And I have learned how, it's annoying, but I've learned how to just say to people, look, your purpose in life is to be a lover. And everything else in your life will grow out of that one priority. It'll grow out of that. Now listen to me. Understand what I'm trying to pass along. I'm trying to impart to you. That's not easy. So this is why I get a little flummoxed when I hear people say, yeah, but we got to have tough love. My response to that is, oh, listen, love that is love, it's tough all by itself. Real love is not flimsy. It's not a wallflower. It's not, you know, waiting on the side of the dance floor and I hope somebody pays attention to me. No, that's an imitation of love. Honest, real love says, you know what? I'm going to sit on this dance floor and I'm going to tap my feet and smile and clap my hands to the music. And if nobody dances with me, well, that'll be their loss. My purpose in life is to love, and I'm going to sit here and love this dance even if I don't get a dance partner. Now, yeah, trust me when I say I understand how challenging that is. But how else is love to become love if we are not committed to love at that level? I have a passion about this. When I hear us talk about love, I'm 69, soon to be 70, and I know what it is as a pastor to preach on love. And people come to me later and say, "Oh yeah, well you preach big on love, but you never loved me." And you know, it frustrates me. It has frustrated me, but it's made me aware of two things. First of all, that if I'm going to preach this stuff. Listen to me. If I'm going to preach this stuff, oh, baby, I better live this stuff. I better be this thing I call love. So that's one thing. And the other thing is that when I preach on love and somebody comes and they're absolutely self-centered in that, they're still in the wastelands of the shallows of an understanding of love that isn't serving them well. Probably for years they've been in that spot and they're love is knocking on their door saying, come on, let's rise and shine. Let's be better than this. Let's be more than this. Let's go to the greater depths of love. Let's live an adventure of love. Now, see, I said that the theme for today is the adventure of love. So on any adventure, you know, if you think of a marathon run, that's an adventure, you know, 20 plus mile run. And in that adventure, there's going to be highs. You know, you're going to start off with that starting line. You're going to feel like I can run faster than I've ever run my whole life. But then you're going to hit about the 3 or 4 mile mark and your body's going to say, hello, we're hurting here. You got a blister forming on your left foot. And at that point, the adventure of a marathon starts to become a real pain. Well, then you're going to go past the 3 to 5 mile mark and you're going to hit that 10 mile mark or somewhere along there. And marathoners will tell you, I'm not a marathoner, but I am a runner. And I know a little bit about this. You're going to hit what they call the wall. You're going to hit that wall where your body says, nope, we're done. I can't do this anymore. Stop. You know, your body, your instincts are saying, we're going to die. If you just keep doing this, that your heart's going to explode. Your lungs are going to quit on you. Your legs are going to drop right off their sockets. You know, it's called the runner's wall. So every marathoner, and I'm not a marathoner, but I run long distances enough to know there's a spot in there where your training is kind of at its end. You're done. And again, your body is screaming, stop now. This is the adventure of love. A marathon's an adventure. You'll start off with adrenaline and excitement. You know, the gun will go off and start, and you go running, and you're smiling and waving at the crowd. The crowd's cheering, and your fellow runners are running, and everybody's probably running faster than they should because the adrenaline's running. Reminds me of two lovers get married, right? Everything's exciting. You know, I now pronounce that you are husband and wife. You may kiss each other and seal these vows with a kiss. And everybody's, oh, isn't it beautiful? Well, talk to me 3 years later. Maybe talk to me 3 weeks later. when there's real challenges going on. That's when love becomes the honest human value that it is. So when I am alive to love, if I recognize my purpose in life is to love, then I must adamantly refuse to wait for the return of love in order for my love to continue. Now, seriously, that's a wall. Your instincts are screaming, I can't do this anymore. But if you're going to continue the adventure of love, you push past that moment. You continue to run the marathon. And when the marathon is coming to its conclusion, something in your mind says, hey, we're doing this. We've accomplished the impossible. So here's what I'm telling you. Real love, it's impossible. Real love, it's impossible. But guess what? Let's do the impossible well, shall we? Real love, real powerful love, and I mean not just marital or relationship, friendship. I'm talking about just in general relationships. I'm talking about loving your job. I'm talking about being able to love your neighbor or loving your enemy. I'm talking about all descriptions of love. It's impossible. Jesus said we're to be like his Father. He said, your Father in heaven is perfect and God wants you to be perfect. What? That's impossible. Exactly. And that's why this becomes an adventure. That's why this becomes a mountain climb. This is where the marathon example comes to play. Because as we approach a marathon or any kind of physical endurance test and our bodies are screaming, stop now, and we get past that moment of, I can't do it anymore, but then you realize, wait a minute, I've come this far. I think I can do this. Well, now we recognize, and again, this may be for somebody, you're at a point of retirement from a job you've loved, but you just feel like, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to have to transition. Here's what I would urge that person, for instance, who's looking at retirement. Don't retire because you just don't want to work anymore. Retire because you've still got love to give other projects. There's still love alive in you for something else to go along with what your life has been. Don't just sit down and watch television. That's an example. Love is your purpose. And now as life closes, let love be your closing theme. Let love be the way you say goodbye to family and friends. Let love be the means by which you're willing to pass from this life to the next. Here's what I tell people as a pastor. When people ask me, well, what's going to happen to me when I die? Tell me, what's going to happen to me when I die? Well, when we die, I believe this. We close our eyes in this life, and we will open them in the next instant. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll open our eyes to the face of the most majestic, incredible, fantastic, charmed, beautiful, every descriptor you can think of love. We will be looking into the eyes of that love. God is love. And the next adventure in life, when we pass from this to the next, will be to look into the eyes of love that seems absolutely impossible. This kind of love can't be real. Really? Oh my. Yes. That's the love we will step into when we die. So that kind of love is the love that will be the next journey of who we are and what we've become. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. I hope that you are catching what I'm giving here. That love is not some kind of hardcore mathematical formula. Love is not some kind of it's not some kind of science. It's an adventure. It's a challenging press forward in all things in this world. The saddest, most broken human beings I know are people who somewhere in life gave up on love. They, as I said earlier, they were waiting for love to come back for love to be returned after I've loved so much. I want love back. And I have to understand it. I understand the feeling of wanting it back. I want it back. I want it back. Well, that's normal. But what we've got to watch for in that normal challenge is to know that love coming back isn't the point. Love alone is credible. It may or may not come back in this life, but now listen to me carefully. I truly believe that love will be its own best reward, whether it's ever come back to you from somebody or not. That is how love works. You know, when children say, "Well, Dad, Mom, how do I know when I'm in love?" Maybe the answer is, you'll know in about 50 years. No, don't give a child that answer. You give them the best you can in understanding that love is a climb, love is a race, love is an adventure. Never give up. Here's something else I want to share with you as I close. The more I reach for faith, it seems to me the more doubts come flying at me. And when I hope higher, disappointments come to try to weigh me down. And love, well, that's when fear and rejection start throwing a fit in my presence. When love says, "Hey, come on, Randy, we got to love more." I know fears, I know rejection, and they throw a fit in my thoughts. But I've learned this, no matter what, faith, hope, and love are always worth the reach. Paul said in Corinthians that these things, three things remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. I know no matter what, faith, hope, and love are worth my reach, worth my effort, worth my blood, sweat, and yes, my tears to reach for those abiding principles. Well, thanks for being here today. I've got two activities to close the broadcast with. And we do this every time, every broadcast of the No BS Bishop. Thank you for being here, but don't leave yet, because these next two activities are so vital to my purpose today in telling you love is an adventure. And oh, baby, it's a tough one. So I tell people routinely, if you're stressed, if you're fighting through seemingly impossible battles, here's one thing you ought to do well. Breathe. Keep on breathing. You know, the human existence can't go on unless we're breathing. So, on the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can. Jesus said the Spirit of God is like the breeze, is like the wind. We don't know where it came from, and we don't know where it's going. And there's such a thing as it's called a breath prayer. And that breath prayer is what I'm going to teach you right now. And that is, on the count of three, take the deepest breath you can. Take it down deep into your lungs. Hold it there. Press against your diaphragm. And then exhale. All right? On the count of three, take the deepest breath you can. One, two, three. Inhale. And hold it. And exhale. The best way to do the breath prayer is to inhale, "Oh, thank you, God," and then exhale, "Hallelujah." Inhale, "Help." Exhale, "Thank you." However it works for you, make it a prayer. Make it how you fill your lungs with life, and life that is strengthening and empowering. Second activity we close with every No BS Bishop is a challenge I make to people, and I have for years, and that is to learn how to look people in the eye, slow down the three most holy, charmed, and magical words in the human language, slow them down, and say, "I love you." This sets the tone, doesn't it? You know, go back to what I said earlier. When we walk from this life to the next, I hope that somewhere, somehow, the last three words out of my mouth, the last breath I give in this life will be to someone, "I love you." So if you can, and if you're so daring and willing, find somebody, make eye contact, slow your words down, regard these words as holy words, and say it carefully, with intention. I love you. Those magical words change the world. No matter how often you say it, and yeah, for some folks it gets weird, like they'll dodge eye contact with you in spite of the fact you're trying to keep eye contact. People will run away if they see you coming and they know you're going to try to do it. I know, I've had that experience many times. But I know this is a healing exercise to give love where I may never get love back. If I'm giving love, waiting for it to come back, ooh, then I'm going to wait a long time and it's going to be very painful. But if I can give love and say, look, you know, if I never get it back from you, okay, I guess that's how it's got to be. And I will continue to do the heavy lifting of love. It's an adventure, baby. It's an adventure, my listeners. And I challenge you to live this adventure with all the gusto you know how. Now, go out there and do something beautiful in this bleak and challenging world. This world is full of challenge, and it's full of people who are not doing the right thing. It's full of people who are not doing beautiful things. But if we can go out and do the beautiful thing called love, we will have changed one slice of one day in somebody's life. If love becomes the purpose of why I'm here, we have offered this world a brand new way of living. Martin Luther King Jr. said one time, love may well be the salvation of our society. I believe he is right. So go out there and do something beautiful, because ugly's getting done to death. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, the No BS Bishop. Happy trails to you all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.